Hello, it's Father Jim again. I'm making noises about the Holy Spirit, which is what, shall we say, made our Lord tick. And he ended his life by saying, I have finished the work I have been given to do. So I'd like to pause a moment to make gratitude noises to those who work. Some work with their hands, which is so dignified. Some earn their living with their mind. Lawyers, the studies they have to do and the exams they have to pass, although they might charge a lot, at least they've had to work and also continue being up to date. I'm thinking of dentists, artists, labourers who make the world go round by using their gift and talent. And judging by some people's wages, they're not often thanked. In particular, I'm thinking of people who are treated as servile or slaves. Nowadays, people go to supermarkets and buy oranges. They don't think of the people, often paid very little, who've been brought in to pick the oranges. They're called illegal immigrants, some of them, in the United States. And I gather that some of them are going to be made legal. I'm thrilled about that. Fruit collecting is very labour-intensive. So I'm thinking of all those who labour with the work of their hands or their heart or their mind. And this is a little tribute of gratitude. And I'm also thinking of those who would love to work, but there's no room for them in the marketplace, it seems. I hope you don't mind my sharing poetry. I often think even if what I say is rubbish, at least it will give you a chance to hear somebody else's great work of art. And this is a little poem called The Village Blacksmith by this great American poet I quoted last week, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The Village Blacksmith. And this poem tells me about being needed, especially in the days of horses, and appreciation by the local community, and how, although he's been widowed, he quietly gets on with his dignified work for the community. The Village Blacksmith. Under a spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands. The smith, a mighty man is he, with large and sinewy hands, and the muscles of his brawny arms are strong as iron bands. His hair is crisp and black and long. His face is like the tan. His brow is wet with honest sweat. He earns whate'er he can and looks the whole world in the face, for he owes not any man. Week in, week out, from morn till night, you can hear his bellows blow. You can hear him swing his heavy sledge with measured beat and slow, like a sexton ringing the village bell when the evening sun is low. And children coming home from school look in at the open door. They love to see the flaming forge and hear the bellows roar, and catch the burning sparks that fly like chaff from a threshing floor. He goes on Sunday to the church and sits among the boys. He hears the parson pray and preach. He hears his daughter's voice singing in the village choir. It makes his heart rejoice. It sounds to him like her mother's voice singing in paradise. He needs must think of her once more, how in the grave she lies, and with his hard, rough hand he wipes a tear out of his eyes. toiling, rejoicing, sorrowing. Onward through life he goes. Each morning sees some task begin, each evening sees it close. Something attempted, something done, has earned a night's repose. Thanks. Thanks to thee, my worthy friend, for the lesson thou hast taught. Thus at the flaming forge of life, our fortunes must be wrought. Thus, on its sounding anvil shaped, each burning deed and thought. Oh, I think that's beautiful. Toiling, rejoicing, sorrowing. The Holy Spirit is there in our work, in our sorrows, and in our joys, and in those, like his wife, who've gone before us. Amen.